parables and stories and good news from the book of Matthew. Jesus proposed another parable to the crowd, saying, "The realm of God may be likened to a landowner who sowed good seeds in his field. While everyone was asleep, the enemy came and sowed weeds all through the wheat and then went off. When the crop grew and bore fruit, the weeds appeared as well. The servants of the landowner came and said, 'Did you not sow good seed in this field? Where have the weeds come from?' The landowner answered, 'An enemy has done this.' The servants said, 'Do you want us to go and pull them up?' But the landowner replied, 'No. If you pull up the weeds, you may uproot the wheat along with them. Let them grow together until harvest. Then at harvest time, I will say to the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles for burning, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Jesus proposed another parable to them. "The realm of God is like a mustard seed that a person took and sowed in a field. It is the smallest of all seeds, yet when full grown, it is the largest of the plants. It becomes a large bush, and the birds of the sky come and dwell in its branches." Jesus spoke to them another parable. "The realm of God is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch was leavened." All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables. He spoke to them only in parables to fulfill what had been said through the prophet, "I will open my mouth in parables. I will announce what has lain hidden from the foundation of the world." Then, dismissing the crowds, he went into the house. His disciples approached him and said, "Could you explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field?" He said in reply, "He who sows good weeds and good seeds is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed the children of the realm. The weeds are the children of the evil ones, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of age. The harvesters are angels. Just as weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all who cause others to sin and are evildoers. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the realm of their Creator. Whoever has ears ought to hear." People of God, hear what the Spirit is saying.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The Gospel of Matthew in this 13th chapter is a whole series of 7 parables. We heard a couple last week, and there's a couple more next week that we'll hear. The 3 today kind of hang together. And for the most part, I'd like to say that, you know, they really are insightful. They're realistic and compassionate. And now, as soon as I get those words out of my mouth, I said, "What are you talking about? How are they insightful?" I mean, y'all see what around our place, the wheat fields are all from the winter wheat are all clean. There's no weeds there. How's that hitch with the reality? And if you go out and take a look at the rows of corn, and the beans, there's no weeds there. What's, they're all weeded out by pesticides that are the poisons, and that makes me good to take a look at. Maybe this really isn't about plants and seeds and weeds. Maybe this stuff is really about you and me. He's talking about the people there. In my personal life, I know Patty's been getting on me about getting all them weeds out now. And we did a lot of that last 2 days. But that's not what the parables are really about. Like Richard Rohr said, when we're growing up, we're told to get all those weeds out. And sometimes I was taught to be a perfectionist, that I had to be perfect, and that I had to do that. And all that did was bury some stuff, like he was saying. And I have to take a look at that. Why did Jesus teach in such a confusing way? Theologians talk about these parables, that there's three purposes. One is to subvert business as usual logic. You know, the paradigms you get. I'm good, you're bad. These people are bad over here, so we stay away from them. And to get away from that business as usual. I got to hate Republicans or love Democrats or Democrats and vice versa. That it's this whole thing with that, which follows up with that Jesus was talking about in these parables, is getting rid of dualistic thinking. I'm right, you're wrong, how that works. And it was to propose that we have spiritual transformation. Now, let me break that down a little bit. Breaking this business as usual down, the paradigms that we're talking about, we have to take a look at our paradigm and worldview we have, and how much that impacts us, especially when we're growing up as little kids, the things we're taught and how that sticks with us. So listen to a podcast recently, and it was talking about how we carry those things in our bodies. And he was, the guy who was talking about it was talking to everybody, and he said, I had this experience one time where this woman came up to me, and she hung her head as she came up. And she didn't look, and she says, yeah, I really agree with you that those kind of things really hang in me, and I have buried some of that stuff. You know, my dad was an alcoholic, a very bad alcoholic. And he'd come in and he'd tell me that I was an ugly person. I was the ugliest kid he ever saw. He'd say, your eyes, and he would apologize for this, the preacher did. He said, your eyes are like cat shit. How could you have such ugly eyes? And she said, I prayed to God from when I was a little kid, please God, change my eyes to be blue eyes. And then she looked up at the guy, the preacher, and she said, what color are my eyes? And he looked at him and he said, those are the most beautiful blue eyes I've ever seen. Did God change your eyes? And she said, no, God didn't change my eyes. She says, I never looked in a mirror to see what they really were. That stuck with me so deeply. I didn't know until I was in my mid-30s that I had blue eyes. Think of how some of that paradigm stuff, and that's what I think Jesus is talking to us about in some of this weeds and wheat and what that's about. Because isn't it true we all have good and bad in us? Isn't it true that the people who were around have good and bad in them? And it's, I find it so easy for me to criticize other people and not pay attention to the good that's in them. Like to criticize other people and not understand what caused them to get to that point. What caused that little girl to think that her eyes were that color and not see the beauty of her real eyes? And how often do I miss the beauty in other people when I train my eyes that way and look at it? We look at the way our society is today, and there's a whole lot of that we become so judgmental. getting rid of this whole dualistic thinking is what the parables are about. It's not about being right or wrong. It's about understanding and growing in that love. The parables are also meant to transcend dogma. You know, some of the dogmas that we've gotten within our churches throughout, it didn't happen when Jesus never talked about the Trinity. Jesus never talked about being God. Jesus always refused that. We hit it important that we look at that. And I'm not saying that Jesus isn't the Son of God any more than you and I are sons and daughters of God. And we begin to see ourselves that way and see that, to know. Because we as humans, we often take our religious texts and make them into ego-driven things that give us security. I'm right and you're wrong. We got a better thing here than you got a better thing there. Instead of seeing the beauty and the goodness and the mixture of all that around. So how do we provoke that spiritual transformation? See, that's what drove the scribes and Pharisees crazy. They were saying, no, you have to do this, this, and this, instead of being understanding the love that we needed to have. And we do that today. So the parables aren't about weeds and wheat. It's about you and me and seeing the beauty that's in you and me and understanding our difficulties, our struggles. That happens with everybody. So Jesus isn't saying that we got to let go of this. And that's like what Richard Rohr said. Hey, that's pretty risky business. I don't understand this logic. Well, it's not about logic. It's about love. Have you ever loved anybody? Now tell me that's logical. It isn't. It's about understanding how we are meant to be all one together. To tell the truth, none of us are perfect. Our country's not perfect. Our church is not perfect. The project of learning is how we love and how we do that. And how we challenge ourselves to be non-judgmental in growing with others. Doesn't mean we don't call out evil when we see it. It doesn't mean we don't say that this is wrong. That this is not what Jesus was saying when we talk about immigrants. He welcomed everybody. He accepted everybody. So it's not about doing that, but it's also about learning how to see with the heart of God, see with the heart of Christ. There are two parables, interesting, that followed this whole thing that Jesus was talking about. The one was about the tiniest seed of all. How often do you feel that you're the tiniest? Can't do anything? Can't be about that? And I think that's what he's talking to us about. That we need to nurture who we are in that light of God. We are that special people. That seed needs to be nurtured and grown and watered. That seed I need to grow and develop in my spirituality and in my understanding and to be all that I can be. And why do I need to be all I can be? So the birds of the air can nest in me. So I can do that for others and pass on that goodness for others. That's what I think that, you know, that's about. The other parable is that he talks after that. It's like a woman who's working with that dough and puts a little bit of yeast in there. And what does that little bit of yeast do? It raises the whole thing. We are that yeast. We need to allow that to raise us up. But also, it's what's going to raise up all around us. It's going to be able to have that. That is you and me too. With my strengths, with my weaknesses, with the good in me, with the bad in me, with the good and the bad in you, it's how we bring it together. And how I need to support folks when they're struggling, and I need support when I'm struggling. Now, the last thing on there, when they says, I'm not forgetting that part where at the end he says, explain this to us. And I'd like to say what that's about. Because Who are the harvesters that call out the right and wrong? It's the angels. The angels are the ones that do that. And that it puts us to call us back that I don't say the one's going to be burning in hell. Someone was telling me yesterday that he was at a funeral. And she says, well, I expect he's in hell now. And he said, how can you say that? And that's the way her paradigm, and the way she understood and she grew up, and the way she was taught. But you know, in this parable, it says nothing about hell. There is nothing about damnation. There is a thing about weeping and crying. And that piece that Richard Rohr goes on to talk about, the weeping represents the grief in realizing that we built our life on something that's false. How many times have you sat back and said, why did I do all that? I was building it up on something that was false. That grinding a tree is that anger that the ego has when it realizes that it's been wrong. You ever see somebody in your life where you judge them for a long time and all of a sudden you see what they're doing? Oh my God, how could I have said that about that person? That's the grinding of teeth when I begin to understand it myself. It's a both and relationship that we have. It's not an either or. The agony occurs when I violently try to force perfection on myself and on others. It doesn't work. It needs to be a path to transformation. The furnace and the fire is understood as God's refining. Isn't that what they do with gold? It's not the end. They burn it so that it becomes more and more pure. And that's the spiritual transformation we need to go through. And we need to be supporting others that they can go through it. It doesn't ignore the evil or the wrong or the bad that's in it. But it does call us not to be judgmental, because the angels are supposed to do that. It doesn't call us to be that. We do need to call out what the wrongs, but not the people. And come to understand, why did that young girl hang her head until her mid-30s and not look in a mirror? That's a deep question. And I think that's something we all want to take a look at, and what these parables are meant to teach us. So, as I hear things, the thing that's resonated in my head was that thing that the Quaker lady said. You know, the Spirit's always talking to us. I'm listening.
Anyone else like to comment?